I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, May 13th. Hope you join in as we remember the contributions of former Wisconsin Governor Pat Lucey this hour. Lucey passed away on Saturday at the age of 96. He is being remembered by friends and family as a statesman who got things done. Sean Johnson reports.
Former Governor Tony Earle was a Democratic state legislator when Lucey was sworn in as governor in 1971. What followed, Earle says, was a record of accomplishment no governor can match.
I truly believe he was the most effective governor in Wisconsin in the last 100 years, and that includes the Robert M. La Follette years. Battle Bob, to take nothing away from him, could get people riled up, propose lots of things, but he had a lot of trouble getting things passed. Pat didn't stir the fire very much, but boy, he got a hell of a lot done.
Lucey created the University of Wisconsin system as it's known today, merging the UW-Madison with campuses around the state. He signed a same-day voter registration law, and he created Wisconsin's shared revenue system. Former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle says Lucey built relationships in politics to accomplish his agenda.
In many ways, he was Lyndon Johnson without all the rough edges. I mean, he was a politician in the best sense of the word.
Lucey and Doyle's father worked to organize Wisconsin's modern Democratic Party, and Lucey served in the legislature with Doyle's mother. Doyle says there was a tremendous loyalty to Lucey among Democrats because of what he did for the party, but Lucey never let it go to his head.
Pat Lucey was a great governor. He was a great political leader. But the thing about Pat Lucey was he was an even a better man.
Lucey died Saturday night at the Milwaukee Catholic Home after a brief illness. He was 96 years old. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
We will talk with two guests during this hour about Governor Lucey's political career and legacy, the reforms he initiated for the state of Wisconsin. We'll welcome your questions and your own memories at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our first guest, Democratic State Senator Fred Risser of Madison, who served in the legislature during two terms when Lucey was governor in the 1970s. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Wow. Governor Lucey accomplished a whole heck of a lot, didn't he?
He was a real doer. There's no question about it. He accomplished a lot. He was the first four-year term governor. And so he had 4 years to go to work, where previous governors only had 2 years, and he made good use of that time.
Oh, so it was the term was only 2 years prior to 1970.
Yes, the 2 year term for governor made a governor gave a made the governor had difficulty getting things through, because no sooner did the governor get elected than he started running for re-election. In the case of Lucey winning a 4 year term, he went to work to develop some progressive agenda in the state, and I think his record was second to none.
Yeah. You described him as being, you thought that he would be remembered as Wisconsin's most influential citizen?
As one of the most influential citizens. He has a legacy that anyone looking into Wisconsin history is going to have to mention Lucey and his record. Now, his record is more than just the merger of the university. I think one of the most important things was his economic development. Actually, he reformed the tax system in Wisconsin, and the tax system is reformed today in his making. He, for instance, he changed the shared tax revenue to return funds to by the basis of a formula rather than to where individuals lived. We used to have tax islands in the state where people, rich people got together and they would contribute to the state. The state would turn around and give back the money to that community. Now we give back money on a formula basis. He developed a property tax exemption for machinery and equipment and business inventories, which was very helpful to business. We had a economic boom during his era. He did a lot in deinstitutionalizing individuals. For instance, he did a lot in mental health and criminal penalties to help deinstitutionalize people and get them back into the community. he was active in many, many fields, and his record, as I say, is probably the best record of any four-year term governor, governor we have in the state for many, many years.
I saw an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that described him as being socially liberal and more conservative when it came to fiscal matters. Is that how you viewed him?
I think that's right. As I say, in my opinion, one of the greatest things he did is to reform our tax system. We had shared tax revenues in Wisconsin where we used to send the money back to the communities where individuals lived and paid their taxes. He was able to change that formula so that we now share revenues based on formulas. He was able to change the school aid formula, where schools were very inequitable in the state prior to his actions. And these are things that have lasted the 50 years since he was as governor. In the face of in business, of course, he helped reduce the property taxes and actually eliminated them, and the machinery and equipment, something business wanted. He reduced the property tax on business inventories. Mm-hmm. Again, business oriented. He was very interested in development, economic development, as well as a progressive vision that he had.
So, what was it like serving in the legislature when Lucy was governor?
Well, quite a bit different than now, because the legislature was split when he was governor. In other words, he had to deal with a Republican legislature, and he was a Democrat, and he was able to deal across the line. The days when people would deal across the lines have sort of faded away, and we have a very partisan legislature now where straight party line voting is regular. Under Lucy, he was able to work with Republicans and Democrats and able to put his program through despite the fact that there was a divided legislature.
Yeah. We are talking with Fred Risser, Democratic State Senator from Madison, who served in the legislature during the two terms that Pat Lucy was governor. We are remembering Governor Pat Lucy's legacy, and we're welcoming your questions and maybe your own observations. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, talking about some of the many reforms that occurred under Pat Lucy's leadership, including in the realm of taxes and social issues like deinstitutionalization. We'll talk a little bit when we come back. I didn't realize this, that he signed the law that provided for same-day voter registration and many other accomplishments. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, May 13th. We are talking with Democratic State Senator Fred Risser from Madison about the legacy of former Governor Pat Lucy. Pat Lucy is credited with many, many reforms in Wisconsin, including merging the state's university system, also fathering Wisconsin's modern Democratic Party, creating the two-party system in Wisconsin, and many other reforms. We welcome your questions. We welcome your memories. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Coming up, we'll talk about Pat Lucy's legacy with John Nichols, who is with the Capital Times and the Nation. Talk a little bit too about his national and international reputation coming up after 7:30. Well, we do have let's take a caller. Sally in Madison joins us. Hi, Sally.
Hi. One of the changes that Lucy did in terms of how government works is establishing the cabinet. And I think that that is a change that should be noted as well. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Did he do that, Senator Risser?
Well, yes, to a great extent. He was a doer, and he was accomplished a lot. And one, as the caller pointed out, he did away with a number of boards and developed a cabinet where individuals were appointed by him, confirmed by the Senate, and then directed by him to promote the program. He centralized government, and by doing that was developed a much more efficient and effective form of government. He was a real doer, and the cabinet, the changes he made should be credited to him.
And I didn't know it until I heard it in Sean Johnson's piece that he signed the same-day voter registration law in Wisconsin.
Yes, he was involved in many, many issues, and campaign finance and campaign reform was one. Mental health is another. He signed the first same-day voting registration voting bill. He had his hands in many, many social issues. And he's a man with a legacy will never be forgotten.
So, Senator Risser, just because same-day voter registration is back in the news these days with some Republicans wanting to do away with it, I mean, was it controversial back in the day?
Oh, it was controversial then, yes. But he felt that the best type of democracy was promoting voting, and one way to promote voting was to develop a same-day voting, registration and voting on that day. I think it was a good reform. I think that anything that reduces the voting is a bad idea. But Lucy was developed a progressive vision of encouraging voting rather than discouraging, which is what's happening now.
Let's talk a little bit about Pat Lucey's tenure as the chair of the state Democratic Party. In your written statement on Lucey's passing, you said that he helped turn Wisconsin into a two-party state. Describe Wisconsin's political makeup before Lucey was state Democratic Party chair.
There's absolutely no question about that. For instance, the state assembly had not been Democratic since Roosevelt days, 1933. When Lucy became state chair, he was able to, in 1958, turn the assembly Democrat for the first time in over 30 years. He did something that no other party chairman did. He insisted that the Democrats run a candidate in every assembly and Senate district in the state, even those districts where they didn't have a chance, because he felt that even if they had a candidate running that didn't have a chance, he'd be bringing in some Democratic votes and be bringing in the message. He was a great organizer. I can't imagine any state chair that I've served with that has been the organizer he has. He also insisted, for example, that the Democrats in the Senate legislature put before the body bills embodying the party platform. In other words, the Democratic Party would pass a platform, and he would insist that that platform be presented to the legislature for consideration. That was another reform, and he was very, very good at organizing the party.
Lucy didn't see himself as being terribly charismatic, and you told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that you didn't agree with that.
He's not an orator. There's no question about that. But I said that when he spoke with authority, and it depends on how you define the charisma. But if it's charisma is an orator, he was no orator. But if it's getting something done by he got something done, because when he spoke with authority.
We are talking with Fred Risser, Democratic State Senator from Madison, about the legacy of Governor Pat Lucey, who passed away on Saturday. What questions do you have about Pat Lucey's career in politics or his legacy, reforms he initiated? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Don in Soldiers Grove is with us. Hello, Don.
Yeah, good morning, Joy. Good morning, Fred. Mine is more, I had Pat Lucey's sister for my history teacher back in seventh grade down here at North Crawford in 1967. And she would talk about him. He worked for the Kennedys, I guess. And I don't know if it was like, she talked about him working for, John, and then, of course, Bobby was about ready to run for president. So that's where I kind of got my introduction to Pat Lucey at that time. And, of course, he's kind of, from this area, too.
One can't talk about Lucey without talking about some of his close associates, and one was his wife. His wife was very active, and Jean, and there's no question that they formed quite a duo.
Yeah, and he was busy on the national scene as well. We're concentrating on his state political mark, but he ran for vice president, didn't he?
Yes, and of course he was very, very close to the Kennedys, and he was also ambassador to Mexico. So he was involved in the inner circle nationally, too.
Yeah, what can you tell us, Senator Risser, about the one-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party running with the independent candidate John Anderson? Why do you suppose he was, an independent rather than a Democrat?
He was a little disillusioned with, I believe it was President Carter at the time, and so he joined Anderson on the third party race, but he always endorsed Democratic candidates for president after that and before that, and he was a good Democrat, and there's no question about that.
Yeah, he was sort of an elder statesman, so to speak, after that and into his, until just recently he was still commenting on politics, right?
Yes, I saw him a year ago down at a Hickamoon memorial, and he, at 95, was still quite alert and interested in what was going on.
Yeah. So, did you talk at all, or do you have any idea how he felt about some of the controversial issues in Wisconsin today, the state of polarized politics in Wisconsin today?
Well, Pat Lucey had a progressive vision about him, and I'm sure he was quite disillusioned about the number of things that were happening at the present time, as are a number of people. But his legacy is what he did, and what he did is still with us. And he will be remembered, in my opinion, as one of the greatest governors that we ever had.
Yeah. And while we still have you for another minute or so, because it is in the news, and we just talked about Pat Lucey signing the same-day voter registration law in Wisconsin, what is your reaction to Wisconsin Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen saying yesterday that he will appeal the decision on voter ID in Wisconsin, the decision that blocked voter ID?
Well, I think Judge Edelman's decision was an excellent one, and the appeal may result in the whole matter being taken up to the Supreme Court. I think that the opinion is very well written, and it may justify the eventual Supreme Court review. I don't think Van Hollen should have appealed it, because I think it was well written and well reasoned. But on the other hand, this is the way you carry things up to the Supreme Court. Maybe this issue should be reviewed by the Supreme Court.
And you did close your statement by saying that Governor Lucey will go down as being one of Wisconsin's best governors and one of Wisconsin's most influential citizens. What do you remember most about Pat Lucey, the man?
I remember most about the man is that he was not a man of a lot of words, but when he spoke, you knew that he spoke with authority and with conviction. I had many talks with him, and the words that came out of his mouth were always very profound and very certain.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Fred Risser is a Democratic state senator from Madison. He served in the legislature during the two terms that Pat Lucey was governor. We will get another take on the legacy of former Governor Pat Lucey. John Nichols will join us after the news. He says that Lucey was a transformational Democrat. And we will continue to welcome your questions and your memories and observations about Pat Lucey. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are remembering Wisconsin Governor Patrick Lucey, who passed away on Saturday. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Tuesday, May 13th. Well, we heard in our last half hour from State Senator Fred Risser, who says Pat Lucey will be remembered as one of Wisconsin's most influential citizens and one of the state's greatest governors. And our next guest, John Nichols, will talk about Lucey as a transformational Democrat, and we'll take a look at Lucey's legacy on the state and national levels. And we'll welcome your questions and your observations, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What questions do you have about Lucey's mark on Wisconsin and national politics? What do you remember most about former Governor Pat Lucey? John Nichols is the associate editor of the Capital Times. He is Washington correspondent for The Nation and co-author of Dollarocracy, How the Money and Media Election Complex is Destroying America. His recent piece for the Cap Times is Remembering Pat Lucey, a Transformational Democrat. Good morning, John.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
It's good to have you here. So, I don't know, you kind of go along with Fred Risser there, that this Pat Lucey will go down as one of the state's greatest governors?
Yes, I think that's true in part because of a subtlety. He was Wisconsin's first four-year term governor. We transitioned in 1970 from a two-year term to a four-year term. And so in the overall history of the state, there are not that many governors, even now, who have been elected to 2 4-year terms. And so he had a lot of time to govern. He also had he governed in a period that was the realization of what I would suggest was his greatest accomplishment. And I don't necessarily say that in a partisan or an ideological sense. I'm just saying in a practical historical sense. His greatest accomplishment, I would suggest, was to build the modern Democratic Party in a state that where the Democratic Party could barely compete. And he came to the governorship in 1970 at a point where a great deal of his long work as party chair, as a Democratic lieutenant governor, as a failed Democratic gubernatorial candidate, kind of all started to come together. And in a very real sense, he was able to govern with a united Democratic strength. He didn't always have control of the legislature, but he had a position that allowed him to do what a lot of governors before him had not been able to do.
Yeah, what was going on with the Democratic Party? Why couldn't Democrats win in Wisconsin?
Because Wisconsin was a Republican state, this state is where the Republican Party was founded in 1854 up in Ripon. And the Republican overlay on the state was so incredibly powerful from the 1850s on that the only time Democrats ever won was when there was a flat-out disaster. So the panic of the 1870s, a Democrat won. The panic of the 1890s, a Democrat won. The 1932 Great Depression, a Democrat won. But other than that, It was always Republican, and the fights were within the Republican Party, between a Republican left and a Republican right. Now, when the Progressive Party collapsed in 1944, 1946, younger progressives, people who probably would have ended up in the Republican Party, started working on forming a Democratic Party that was modern, that was youthful, that was energetic. And Lucy was not one of the progressives. Lucy was a Catholic rural Democrat from western Wisconsin who had gotten into politics because of his great regard for Al Smith, the 1928. Pat was so old, he remembered the 1928 presidential election, and he backed Al Smith for president. Then he loved Roosevelt. So Pat had been, he had Democratic roots, but he was young. He was a part of this whole thing. And the critical moment for Pat Lucy was in 1948. He came home to his little town of Ferryville, Wisconsin, out in Crawford County, and he decided to take on the Republican Speaker of the State Assembly. Imagine this would be like running against Robin Voss today. Yeah. He decided to take on one of the most powerful Republicans in the state, and he was not a famous guy, not a powerful guy. He didn't have much money. If you can imagine this, his campaign was want ads in the local weekly newspapers, and in the help wanted, he would put handyman available. Pat Lucy would be a handyman to have in the state legislature. He was very creative, and he won in this incredibly Republican or traditionally Republican area. Democrats at the state level, not all of whom knew him that well, were blown away. He became one of only a quarter of the Wisconsin legislature that was Democratic, tiny minority. And here was this young, smart, aggressive guy. They almost immediately put him in charge of organizing the Democratic Party. He was the organizational director. And from a historical standpoint, the important thing to understand is one of the first things he had to turn around and do was manage the campaign of Tom Fairchild against Joe McCarthy.
Oh, my gosh.
So he was sort of swept up from Ferryville, Wisconsin, Crawford County, right into the thick of national politics, because that McCarthy reelection campaign in 52 was an epic fight. And not one that Wisconsin acquitted itself too well in. But still, it was an honorable fight. A year later, the Democrats won a western Wisconsin congressional seat. It got on the front page of the New York Times. And people around the country, including the Kennedys, started to notice there was this young guy in Wisconsin who was literally, with the help of Gaylord Nelson, Bill Proxmire, and others, but was literally building a Democratic Party.
And he saved the Democratic Party in Wisconsin, built the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. But then he runs for vice president as an independent. Why did he do that?
Well, it goes to the heart of Pat Lucy. I mean, Pat Lucy is somewhat misunderstood as purely a partisan Democrat. He was a passionate Democrat. He built the party. But his passion for the party was very much like that of Gaylord Nelson and many of the other people of that era. It was rooted in principles. It was rooted in ideals. For Pat, there was a deep commitment to a Catholic social justice tradition, which he regarded very, very highly. There was also a reverence for Franklin Roosevelt, the New Deal era. And when Jimmy Carter became president, Pat was not a particular Carter enthusiast. Now, this is ironic because Carter appointed him ambassador to Mexico, and it was a quite successful stint down there. But Pat left as ambassador to Mexico to support his friend Ted Kennedy for president when Ted Kennedy challenged Carter in 1980. Pat went to the Democratic National Convention as a Kennedy man. And I think listeners should understand, Pat Lucy lived so long that people kind of forget what a big deal he was. Pat Lucy was at the Ambassador Hotel on the night Bobby Kennedy was killed.
He was there.
He was checking into the hotel at the time. You know, he'd been out doing other things, but he was there for strategy sessions on the 68 race. He became an absolutely critical figure in the John Kennedy campaign of 1960, Bobby Kennedy of 68, Ted Kennedy of 80. He was a Kennedy man in so many senses and highly regarded by them. People, it was funny, I was talking to a friend of mine who was very close to the governor, and he would go to Washington with him. And he said when he was in Washington, he had to go by the White House in the early 60s because the Kennedys would be very angry if he didn't stop by. You know,
was Pet Lucy behind the scenes when Kennedy won the Wisconsin primary?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that actually caused some rifts in the party because he was party chair. But there was a strong sense that he was a Kennedy man, and not everybody was there. There's bitter divides. And that played out throughout Pat's career.
So Lucy was upset that Kennedy was not the Democratic nominee for president.
Let us give him a little bit more regard than that. He was upset that Kennedy was not the nominee. It was rooted in his belief that Jimmy Carter was not a successful president, mm-hmm. and that Jimmy Carter could not beat Ronald Reagan. His quotes at the time were quite fascinating because he was clearly putting himself to the left of Carter on a number of issues. But he believed that there had to be sort of a national unity coalition to stop Ronald Reagan. And so he left the Democratic Party, aligned with the liberal Republican John Anderson, and the two of them ran as an independent ticket. At one point, they were getting 25% in the polls. It was seen as a very, quite remarkable third party or independent initiative. And then it collapsed. And ultimately, they got about 5 million votes nationally, which is a lot. Got roughly 6% of the vote nationally, about 7% in Wisconsin. And Pat Lucy never ran for office again after that. But he pretty quickly, in fact, immediately really scrambled back into the Democratic Party and was accepted by most folks. There were a few folks who didn't like the 1980 thing. But at the end of the day, he was very much a part of the Democratic story in Wisconsin.
Well, I certainly remember that time because that was, I think that was the first presidential election that I was able to vote in.
We date ourselves. Yes,
I'm dating myself there. But it was, what happened that 25% support went down to 7? Was that the Morning in America? Or what?
No. Well, Reagan ran an incredibly brilliant campaign in 1980. Mm-hmm. It is worthy of writing about and thinking about in the same perspective that we write and think about Roosevelt's 32 campaign, somebody who really kind of grabbed the moment. And whether you like him or not, that's different. But the other thing was, Pat Lucy was very conscious of this. He talked about it, that it became very, very clear that there were structural barriers to a third party mm-hmm. candidacy. Those structural barriers were financial, ballot access, a lot of other things. And, you know, I really want to emphasize that Pat Lucy, to a greater extent than just about anybody, understood all that going in. So his 80 run for vice president was a run of the heart as much as the head. This was something he believed in because this is a guy who absolutely knew how hard it was going to be. But I think he felt it was the right thing to do for the country at that moment. It did not work. And this is another kind of maybe a final element on Pat Lucy in this regard. He won and lost. This was not a guy who saw politics as something you popped into for a moment. You know, he was a very successful businessman, had a great real estate firm. But unlike some folks who say, I think I want to be a U.S. senator now. That wasn't Pat Lucy. What Pat Lucy did was he was involved in the party. He ran for offices. Sometimes he won. Sometimes he lost. He had bitter primaries with David Carley, Don Peterson, and others in the 60s and early 70s. But he always came back to it. He saw politics as a endeavor, as a way to not just to achieve power, but potentially to change the state and the nation.
We are talking about the legacy of former Wisconsin Governor Pat Lucy, who passed away over the weekend at the age of 96. Talking with John Nichols, who is the associate editor of the Capital Times and wrote a piece that appeared in the Cap Times, Remembering Pat Lucy, a Transformational Democrat. How do you remember Pat Lucy? What questions do you have about his legacy on state and national politics? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about former Wisconsin Governor Pat Lucy, credited with lots of things, lots of policy reforms, with merging the state's two university systems, fathering Wisconsin's modern Democratic Party, serving Wisconsin's first four-year gubernatorial term, was ambassador to Mexico, ran as an independent vice presidential candidate. And we're talking about the mark that that he left on Wisconsin and national politics with John Nichols. And we have lots of callers, so let's go to the phones. Gloria in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Gloria.
Hello.
Yes, what do you remember about Pat Lucey?
Well, I remember lots and lots of things. Of course, I was a younger student, and I cast my first vote for Pat Lucey. And I'm hoping that John Nichol can get the details of this. But I remember before he was elected that Father Grappi had a march to Madison, and his folks were met with tanks and National Guard. And I remember being down there for a visit and just horrified to see that around the state capitol. And some years later, Grappi came back with, I think, welfare mothers, I'm not sure. And he welcomed them and arranged housing for them and presentations to the legislature. And I was just thrilled. It said a lot about the man, and I really appreciated him.
And you're nodding your head, John?
Gloria nails a very interesting part of Pat Lucey. He used to brag about the fact that he had no charisma. He did. He said, you know, I'm not this big dynamic. I just get things done. But people, that was sort of a cover in a sense. The truth was he had great passion and he had great concern. He was also a brilliant guy, a strategist. He thought a lot about how to get things done. This is a guy who was deeply committed to civil rights and to a, again, I reference it often because of, I think it was a big part of him, a Catholic social justice tradition, a real sense of commitment to the least among us economically and in other divisions. And so as a result, he understood Father Grappi, who was the great civil rights poor people's campaigner of Milwaukee, or one of them, along with Lloyd Barbie and others in the 1960s. And I think he understood a lot of where they were coming from. That does not mean he always agreed with them. There were times in which I think he disagreed. But he did, I think, make a very serious effort to heal the state on a number of lines of division. And this is an important part of Pat Lucey. If you can imagine this, during the 1970 gubernatorial campaign when he was bidding for his first term as governor, the Army Math Research Center here in town was blown up. You had explosions, deaths on campus. You did have very serious riots shortly before his election in Milwaukee and in some other cities of the state. You had these clashes in Madison, poor people's marches and other issues. And Pat Lucey came to the governorship in the midst of that. And he really worked hard to bring people together, to try and get people talking, to try and dial down the tensions. He understood policy components of this, that there were ways to respond to people by doing things. He had great allies. Mary Lou Muntz, Midge Miller, and others in the legislature who worked to address a lot of these issues. And I think there was a sense that things were happening. That made it possible for Lucey to, I think, ease a lot of the tensions in the state. And he also did very pragmatic and practical things that he's underestimated for. His cabinet and his appointments were very, very diverse. He brought a lot of women and he brought a lot of people of color into positions.
Let me, in fact, speaking of which, Gloria, thank you so much for the call. Marianne in Appleton is with us now, and you wanted to talk about the governor's status of women?
Yes. Thank you very much for accepting my call. Yes, I was appointed by Pat Lucey to the Wisconsin Governor's Commission on the Status of Women in the 1970s. It lasted for about 5 years. And after Pat Lucey, even Marty Schreiber reappointed us. Kate Clarenbach was the director of that. Mary Lou Muntz and Mitch Miller were our supporters in the legislature at that time, as you just brought out. Jean Boyer was a great member of the commission of 35 members, and we passed legislation in the next 5 years on credit granting, domestic violence, marriage reform, and many other issues that needed equalizing under the law in Wisconsin. So it was a great accomplishment. But under the Republican governor pursuing that administration, we were cut. Our funding was cut, and it was no longer a commission, but it now, arising from the Phoenix, is the Wisconsin Women's Network that still exists today, founded by that Wisconsin Governor's Commission, by Pat Lucy, who was a wonderful achiever for equality of rights in our state.
Well, thank you, Marianne. And Marianne, do you mind if, what is your last name, or don't you want to say?
I do, Rossi, R-O-S-S-I, and I was the legislative coordinator of the commission.
Well, thanks for your service.
This speaks to Wisconsin Public Radio because you just had one of the more accomplished people in recent Wisconsin history give a call here. And the mention of Kay Clarenbach, David's mother, and the remarkable commitment that Pat Lucy had to women's rights ought not be underestimated. And his wife is a big part of this. She was an incredibly outspoken and very strong thinker, believer. But it was deep, hardwired into Pat. And I think he was proudest in a lot of senses of his appointment of Shirley Abramson to the Supreme Court. And remember, she was the first woman on the state Supreme Court. And the interesting thing is that Pat Lucy appointed two chief justices of the state Supreme Court. He appointed Raleigh Day, and then Shirley Abramson. And he was very, very proud of Abramson. And I think it was an interesting choice, too, one that's worthy of note, because women had not been given a lot of access to power. There had been barriers to the road up. And so traditionally, when you got appointed to the Supreme Court, you were appointed as a sitting judge in a lower court, or at least a prosecutor or something. Shirley Abramson was a law professor. So he went into the University of Wisconsin, and she was also a practicing lawyer here in town, and plucked somebody out and put her on the high court of the state. And that was a bold gesture. It was a bold gesture, but it was very typical of Pat Lucy.
Boy, I wish we had more time. Is there anything else that you want to leave us with in our final minute, John, about the legacy of Pat Lucy?
I would simply say this, that in this era when we measure politics by, you know, winning elections and things like this, it is important to understand that Pat Lucy became chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin in 1957, at a point when the Democrats didn't have the governorship, any statewide jobs, or either Senate seat. By the end of his tenure, 6 years later, Wisconsin had won Democrats had won three gubernatorial races. They held both U.S. Senate seats. They had at times held control of the legislature. I mean, there is just simply nobody who did politics more skillfully than this guy.
Thank you for being here. John Nichols, associate editor of the Capital Times. He's also Washington correspondent for The Nation and co-author of Dollarocracy, How the Money and Media Election Complex is Destroying America. His piece for the Cap Times, Remembering Pat Lucy, a Transformational Democrat, is posted on our website and the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Robin Cherry, and to Christy Taylor for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Coming up, it's On Your Money with financial planner Kevin McKinley. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.